I knew it was catching on too after a few of them started coming out. I'd be at, you know, networking dinners in the Valley with analysts and different colleagues in data networking. And, you know, people would be sitting next to me going, yeah, I've been listening to every one of those case studies. They're just fabulous.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I will be talking with Greg Ness, who's VP of Marketing at Blue Lane Technologies, and we'll be discussing how companies are using podcasting, specifically his company, Blue Lane Technologies, as well as his former company, Juniper Networks, and really building their brand and building corporate awareness by using podcasts. And Greg, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Hi, great to be here, Jennifer.
Thank you. So in his earlier life, before he was at Blue Lane, he was at a company called Juniper, which doesn't need any introduction, as marketing director. And he worked with PodTech in terms of developing a very powerful podcast called Master of IT. So before we get into what he's doing at Blue Lane, what I really wanted to get into was some sense of how you really built the Master of IT program and what was the reason for it and how you kind of conceived of it to really help the people that are listening understand that there are a lot of different ways that you can build programs with podcasts for marketing.
Okay, well, you know, back in my Juniper days, I was in a meeting reviewing some excellent research that had been conducted of, you know, the ideal Juniper customer and the profile of the people most likely to buy Juniper products. And it turned out that they were the innovators, the movers and shakers, the strategists, the people that wanted to make their networks do new and things and solve, you know, strategic business challenges with it. And, you know, it had been in an era when Nicholas Carr of, you know, Harvard Business Review was going around on a circuit of trade shows and questioning the strategic value of IT. And we thought, you know what, let's put a stake in the ground and let's champion these customers who are doing these great things with their network. And so, the research called them dynamic growers and large leaders, and there was a press release announcement about it. And we decided, you know, why don't we call this Master of IT and start asking sales channel partners around and find, you know, some of these outstanding, you know, case studies, what these customers, you know, great stories what these customers had done and accomplished. And so we bounced the ideas around a few people internally. The team started and we went to about a half dozen customers that we had been, you know, kind of basically advised that we're doing great things. And we had an editor hired to interview them and take them through the story. And lo and behold, they were just some fabulous case studies. And when John interviewed them via the PodTech.
Yeah, this is John Furrier, the CEO of PodTech, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When he interviewed them, all these great insights came out and these anecdotes and information that would never make it into a press release or case study. And so there was this level of, I don't know, authenticity and freshness to it that we knew we had a hit right from the beginning, because there were, you know, literally the people being interviewed were saying things live, you know, hosted on a podcast that probably would never make it into press release or collateral. And we just thought that was extremely powerful, and it was a great way to represent Juniper and build its brand to a, you know, potentially very viral audience of IT types with stuff that they're interested in and hearing exactly from the customer versus having things that have been warmed over by different marketing elements.
So how much pushback did you get from Juniper in order to do this?
No, I think when we started the program, we shared the ideas with a few departments, and I think everybody was very supportive, especially the people that had been involved in this ongoing research project, identifying, you know, the prospects and these movers and shakers. And I think everyone just kind of lined up and said, this is something we want to do. Budget was created, and we created, you know, PDF files. We did cover wraps on IT publications. We did a whole numerous, you know, and of which podcasting was one of the elements.
Right.
So I would say that the support, you know, even continues. The program still going strong over there. And if you go to masterofit.net on the Juniper site, you'll see there's a whole fresh, you know, assortment of them. I knew it was catching on, too, after a few of them started coming out. I'd be at, you know, networking dinners in the Valley with, you know, with, you know, analysts and you know, different colleagues in data networking. And, you know, people would be sitting next to me going, yeah, I've been listening to every one of those case studies. They're just fabulous, you know. And it was literally like we were taking IT and converting it almost into a form of talk radio that could be shared with people versus, you know, heard it once. And then
these were not just sort of geeks listening. These were actually corporate executives listening. And
financial analysts were listening. And they just say, this is really good. I actually got to hear about, you know, how great Juniper products were, you know, in that mix. So it was just really nice. And it was nice to see, you know, other than the numbers, you know, the download numbers that we were getting, which were, you know, at the time in the early days in the tens of thousands, and, you know, now, of course, they've crossed over to the hundreds.
Hundreds of thousands, yes.
So it was nice to get that validation from people who I think meant a lot to how Juniper was represented, looked, perceived in the market.
So do you think that it was something that would be considered to be one of the more effective means of marketing for Juniper?
Well, I would leave that up to the marketers at Juniper, you know, to decide. But I certainly thought that it was a winning program, and from the data that I've seen, and I know that they continue to support it, it's been featured off and on the homepage. I would say it's been a very successful program, but, you know, I'm not really in a great position to, you know, evaluate it against everything else they've done.
So moving to where you are today at Blue Lane Technologies. You mentioned that you're doing some things as well at Blue Lane, and now you're at a startup. You don't have the kind of dollars you had for, you know, for marketing expenses that you had at Juniper, but you're still using podcasting. So talk to me a little bit about what you're doing at Blue Lane.
So, you know, with Juniper, you know, we had established brand. We had, you know, thousands of customers, and, you know, the Master of IT program was a great lineup with the, you know, target audience. When you're at an earlier stage company at a startup, you really want to, you know, articulate the vision of the company, what the challenges are in the marketplace, you know, and what, you know, your value proposition is. And so we took a little different tact, and we had a series of three interviews with our VP of engineering, literally about the problems with, you know, all of the critical applications and databases that are increasingly vulnerable because they aren't being patched on time. And there's an increased rate of patching going on from software vendors, and hackers are getting more sophisticated. So we wanted to tell that story to a wide audience to let them understand, you know, clarify the problem for them, and then also let them know that there was a solution. So it was a little bit different. It was more of a vision-type interview with someone who's been in the Valley for a very long time at several successful companies talking about those types of issues. And so it was a nice three-part series. I think the title was The Perfect Storm if you go on PodTech. But literally, we hosted the two on PodTech, and then the third one was available on our website, so people would travel to our website to view it.
So would you say you're using this medium instead of or in lieu of direct mail or any other sort of lead generation device?
I'd say it's a supplemental layer. It's an integral part of the mix. What I like about it is between the authenticity and kind of the freshness, and I think that, you know, we're still in an area where there's more and more people listening to, you know, podcasts than in relation to the amount of content that's available. So it's a very conducive market. And I think that because if you have a great idea, there's very few mediums where it can get legs like this and be passed along so quickly and efficiently. And when you're marketing to kind of tight groups of people, when you think about from the standpoint of like the enterprise IT business, you know, it's a community of a few hundred thousand people that probably every one of those, you know, are removed by about two or three steps from each other. You know, we work in companies, we communicate, read the same publications. And so, and, you know, IT departments will share offices that have a dozen or more IT people, or three or four. So the viral potential with podcasting is very interesting. So that kind of combination between the relationship of how much content there is to the growth of the audience and how close IT people like to talk among each other and share ideas, especially within companies but often across, just makes it a really nice, elegant runway to get a message in the air from my perspective.
So are there other ways that you think you're going to be using podcasting instead of just for this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we ran the three a couple months ago, and I'm looking at, you know, getting another one. I think that what you really have to think about when you're working with podcasting is, you know, number one, authentic, real, relevant, and interesting. And I think if you can get those three things together, it can be extremely viral, and it can go to a lot of people very quickly. If some of those legs are missing, it will be a little bit slower, and you won't quite have the traction. So it's kind of one of those programs where having a PR hat as well as an advertising hat on, I think, you know, helps the ultimate success, the reach of the audience that'll be impacted.
Well, that's great. You've heard it here first on Marketing Voices from a marketing veteran. His name is Greg Ness, and he's VP of Corporate Marketing for Blue Lane Technologies. Greg, thank you very much for joining us here on Marketing Voices.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you. And to all my listeners, thank you for listening and joining us. And until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.